All right, Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 20. I'm just going to start off with one verse of scripture. It's good to praise the Lord, amen. It's good to just take time to thank God. The Bible says he inhabiteth the praise of Israel, which is his people. And I think when we praise him, it does help the spirit of things, amen. It's good to just praise him, lift him up. So Proverbs 16 and verse number 20, the Bible says this. The Bible says, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this night, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity to be in church. Thank you, Lord, for all the folks that are here on a Sunday evening. Just gather around your word, Lord. And God, as Hannah said, Father, it's a blessing to be with like-minded people, to sing the good old hymns, and God, just be refreshed, be encouraged, even maybe be challenged a little bit, Lord, just by being with one another. But Father, we're here for your word, God. We're here to hear from you. And so, Father, as I get behind this pulpit right now, Lord, I plead the blood of Christ, and I ask that you'd cleanse me and empty me of myself. And God, fill me with your words tonight, Lord, of what you want for these folks here tonight, Father. I've done my best to study and to prepare, God, but Lord, I need you to do the work. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, that this message would be whatever you want it to be, God. You know each heart and where they're at and what they need. And so, Father, I pray you'd give them it this evening, Lord. They made the effort to be here. They came out on a Sunday night when they could be other places doing other things. And Lord, I pray you'd speak to their heart. So, God, give me the right heart as I preach, Lord, a heart of love, a heart of wisdom. Give me discernment. Give me guidance, Lord. Give me authority and power from your word to preach it, God, because it's thus saith the Lord. Help me preach your words, God, not my opinion or my mind. And Lord, I just pray you just bless this time together. Father, we need you. I need you. And I'm thankful, Lord, that faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. So, God, we can come to you for your help and strength. So right now, Father, I pray you'd help me preach as a dying man to dying men. We'll be sure to give you the praise and glory and honor because you're the one that deserves it. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. And I'd like to just simply preach tonight on trusting in the Lord. On trusting in the Lord. And just kind of starting off, I'd like to say that it's an awesome thing to have a God that we can trust in. Amen. We don't have to trust in man. We don't have to trust in others. We don't have to trust in ourselves, because that's where we get a lot of trouble. And I know how much I fail and falter. But it's an awesome thing that we can trust in God. Go to Psalm 146. Psalm 146. And kind of just think about some of the things that this psalm is saying. We're going to read the entire psalm. Psalm 146. And starting in verse number 1. The Bible says, praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God, while I have any being. Doesn't talk about trusting the Lord, but those are good verses to know, amen, so it's good to read. Verse number 3, it says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, and that very day his thoughts perish. That's man, right? That's what man could do for us if we trust in him, if we rely on him. But verse number 5, it says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food for the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. And that's awesome that that's the God tonight that you and I can trust in, amen. It's a God that's powerful, a God that created everything just by the word of his mouth, the God that cares for us, the God that giveth the blind their sight and lifteth up the broken and hearted, that helps those that are needy. And I like the end of the verse that says, the Lord shall reign forever, amen. I'm thankful that I can trust in God who's going to reign forever and ever and ever, and no one's going to dethrone him and no one's going to kick him off his rule, but he reigns forever. And that's the God tonight that we can trust in. That's a blessing, amen. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to trust in someone, I want to trust in that God. That's the type of God that I want to trust in. And so praise the Lord for that. And then we find in Proverbs 16 that the Lord says that there's happiness when you trust in him. Once again, Proverbs 16:20, it says, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. There's happiness in trusting God. Right? Not just that we get to trust God, but there's happiness when we do trust in him. And over, we just read it, but in Psalms 146 and 5, it says, happy is he whose Lord, the God of Jacob is, or how exactly it phrased that. But we see that again, a happiness, right? And when you look up happy, just some definitions, happy means having enjoyment. It means having pleasure. It means blessed, right? Those are good things, right? It's good to have enjoyment. It's good to have pleasure. It's good to have blessings. And those are found in what? Trusting God. There is happiness. And even another definition I like, which would be for saved people, but it says enjoying the presence and favor of God. Right? Those are all good things. Those are all things that I think all of us would say, man, I want that in my life. I want happiness. I want enjoyment. I want pleasure. I want to be blessed. I want to be able to enjoy the presence and favor of God. Happy. Whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. That's a blessing, amen. And just by starting off, I want to say it's a blessing that we can trust God tonight, amen, that we're allowed to trust him, that he gives us the ability to trust him, that he's there for us to trust in. But there is happiness in trusting the Lord. There are good things that come from trusting in God. And we see that whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. But I'm afraid to say this evening that there are many Christians who aren't happy because they aren't really trusting in the Lord. Right? Because if happiness comes in trusting in the Lord, then guess what? There's a lack of happiness if there's not trust in the Lord. And I'm afraid there are Christians that live in a constant state of worry, of anxiety, of stress, and of fear because they simply won't trust in the Lord. And I'm not talking about, you know, we all, because we're human, sometimes struggle with fear. We sometimes struggle with worry. We sometimes struggle with anxiety or stress because we're human, because we live in this life. And I'm not saying tonight that if you ever struggle with any of those things, it just means you're not trusting in God. But I'm talking about the person, I mean, like, you constantly live in that. Day after day after day, it's always fear, it's always anxiety, it's always stress, it's always worry. And every time some problem comes up or something comes up in your life, it's always fear, it's always worry, it's always stress, it's always anxiety, always something like that. I'm not saying if you ever just struggle, because we all struggle with those things. But man, if you constantly live in that state, I'm afraid that you're probably not trusting the Lord like you should be. Because going on what the Bible says, it doesn't say that whoso trusteth in the Lord, stressed is he, or anxious is he, or worrisome is he, or fearful is he. No, it says happy is he. And can I say, Christian, when did God's word not become enough? Right? When did we start making excuses of, well, the Bible says this, but? Right? Because this is what my Bible says. This isn't what I came up with. This isn't what the Bible says, happy is he when we trust in the Lord. And I think if we are in that state where if we feel like we're all, once again, I'm not saying struggle because, hey, this morning I was a little bit, you know, potato bar and things going on, right? We are sometimes struggle with these things and that's okay. But I'm talking about a constant state. I'm talking about where that's the normal, not the rarity. I think it'd be good to look at our hearts and say, how much are we trusting in the Lord? How much are we relying on him? Go to Jeremiah chapter 17. Because I'm afraid this is something that's plaguing Christianity today, where so many Christians are full of these things. Fear, worry, anxiety, stress. And I'm afraid it has to do with our trust in the Lord. Relying on him, having our confidence in him, putting things in his hand. But in Jeremiah 17 and verse number 5, the Bible says this. The Bible says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places, in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and in whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh. But her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. And you know what I find here in Jeremiah 17? That there is a curse or consequences when you don't trust in God. Because it says, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Right, someone who's not trusting in God, someone who's not really fully giving it to the Lord and putting in his hands and relying on God, but they're trusting in man. And sometimes our problem isn't that we trust in other men, is we trust in ourselves. Right? That's why we don't trust in the Lord, because we have to figure it out, and we have to work it out, and we have to know the end, and we have to figure out how everything's going to... And we're really trusting ourselves. Right? We're not putting God saying, okay, God, like, here it is. You got it. I'll step away. No, it's like, well, let me just help this, and let me do this, and let me fix it. We're relying on ourselves. You know what the Bible says? Cursed be that man whose heart departeth from the Lord. And I don't think God's up in heaven like, oh my goodness, you didn't trust me. Let me put a curse on you. Or let me, you know, he's like not up in heaven just ready to do something bad to us. But there are consequences. And can I say, you can't ignore what God says, but then still expect his blessings. Right? Because in verse number 7, it says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. There are blessings like peace. That's a blessing. Like happiness. Happiness is a blessing. Like being content. That's a blessing. But what's that come from? Man, in whose that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. But here's our problem. We don't want to follow what the Bible says, but then act all surprised when things don't go our way. And yes, I believe there are some physical bad things that can happen if you don't trust God. But guess what? Don't expect to have peace and contentment and joy and happiness if you're living in your life not really giving it to God and not really putting it in the Lord's hands, because that's what we want to do. Right? We want to try to work it out ourselves. We want to figure it out ourselves. We want to keep our hands all over it. And then, oh my goodness, this is not working out and it's not happening. And why am I anxious? And why am I stressed? And why am I worried? Probably because you haven't put it in God's hands. So God's not going to bless you with those things if you haven't done what he told you to do. And we all struggle with that, right? I'm preaching to myself tonight as much as anybody else. But there is consequences. There is a curse. I also see in these verses that, you know what? Your heart is wicked, and it doesn't want to trust in God. In verse number 9, the Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Understand, you're in a weird sort of way, and I've seen this in myself and other people, like our heart likes to be worried about things. We like to be stressed. I mean, we don't like it, but we don't want to let it go. It's this constant battle. It's this constant fight. Like our flesh is always, I want to be, I don't know what to do if I'm not stressed or anxious or worried. But your heart's wicked. My heart's wicked. It's deceitful. You know what it doesn't want to do? It doesn't want to put those important things in your life in God's hands and walk away and leave it up to him. You know what? Your heart wants to trust itself instead of the Lord. Your heart wants to trust its plans, its own desires, its own timing. That's what your heart wants. That's what my heart wants. Instead of giving it to God, like I said, and saying, okay, Lord, you know what you're doing. It's in your hands. It's in your way. You're going to work things. No, it's, well, Lord, my plan is this, right? I think it'd be better if it went this way. I think it'd be better if it was in this timing. I think it'd be better if this was the result. And your heart and my heart struggles with that. That's why we struggle with trusting in the Lord, because our heart wants to do its own thing. Your heart's wicked and doesn't want to trust God. And we need to fight against that. Over in Proverbs 28, verse 26, the Bible says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Right? And we can say amen to those verses and talk about people that, oh man, you know, outwardly they're sinning and they're doing the wrong thing and making bad choices. And oh yeah, they're... But what about you and I when God's telling us to trust in him and saying, I've got it covered and I'm going to work it out and I'm going to take care of you, but your heart's like, yeah, but what about this and what about this? And you know what? Instead of trusting God and saying, okay, Lord, you've got, well, no, like, I got to worry about this and I got to be concerned about this and I got to say, what if this and I got to fix it? You're trusting in your own heart. It's not a good idea. It's not a good thing. You know, I see also in these verses that, you know what, the Lord knows your heart, and you're going to reap what you sow. In verse number 10, the Bible says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Right? The Lord knows what's going on in your heart. The Lord knows how much you trust him or don't trust him. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to reward you according to the fruit of your doings. So you know what? If you don't trust in him, then guess what's going to be the fruit of that? worry, stress, anxiety, fear, all those things that are a result of not giving it to God and trying to work it out yourself or be scared of it yourself. But you know what happens when you trust the Lord? Hey, some peace, some contentment, somewhat happiness, because whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Right? You're going to reap what you sow. And I'm not, once again, I hope this makes sense tonight. I'm just trying to be a help that, hey, we're hurting ourselves when we don't trust the Lord. And it's a whole lot better when we trust in him. And can I say, God is going to trust, to test how real your trust is. Make no mistake about it. God is going to put you in positions in your life where you're going to have to choose to trust him or trust in yourself or trust in something different. He says, I try the reins. You know what that means? That means the inward part. That means the heart. Because guess what? You and I can come to church or talk to other people, and we can talk all about, yeah, I trust in the Lord. And can I be honest? I've seen in myself, and I've seen in other people's lives as well, where you talk to them, and they're like, oh, yeah, I trust God. But you can tell they don't really trust the Lord, or I really don't trust the Lord, because of how they act, because of how worried they are, because of how anxious they are, because of how fearful they are. What? That's not trusted. So we can say outwardly all we want and put on the show, like, oh, yeah, I trust God. But you know what he's going to do? He's going to come down to your level in your life, in your place, Brother Adam, and say, hey, what about this thing that's really important to you? Yeah. And you're going to have to make a decision on who you trust and who you don't trust. He's going to try you, Christian. And I'm just trying to say that, guess what? When you trust in the Lord, there's happiness in that. It's not a bad thing. I mean, it's not fun to go through when the Lord trusts you in that stuff, because, like, it's important. Like, this is an important thing. It's not like, I don't know, some, like, I don't know, I can't think of any good examples right now. Just being honest. It's not some small thing. It's like, oh, I really don't care what happens to this. No, it's like, no, this is a big deal. This is, like, life-changing or crazy important. That's what God's going to put his finger on. Your finances, your health, your relationships, your life, your goals, your dreams. They say, hey, what about this? Yeah. And you're going to have to choose to trust in the Lord or not trust in the Lord. You're going to have to choose to give it to God and say, you know what, Lord? Here it is. It's in your hands. You do with it what you want, and I'm going to back off and just trust and rely and have faith in you, or I'm going to sit in bed all night worrying about it. Or I'm going to try to finagle things and scheme things and work things out to try to get this to happen and try to get that to happen. If I did this, this could. You have that choice. But whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. And can I just say this evening that life is a lot better when you live it trusting in the Lord. It really is. And I understand, I don't get too far ahead of myself. I understand it's hard to give up things and be like, okay, God, this is important, but let me, like, leave it alone and then tie my hands back and walk away so I don't mess with. Like, that's hard to do. But it's so much better when you do it. It's so much better to leave it in God's hands, not your hands. And I kind of thought of an example. I thought about salvation. Right? An example of life being better when you trust in the Lord. You know what? Biblical salvation takes faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what the Bible says. It does. If you're going to be saved according to what the Bible says, you have to have trust and faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross and faith in what this Word of God says. And you know, it's kind of funny. I thought of this as kind of a side note. You know, we'll trust the Lord with our soul, but not with other things. I mean, you'll give God the most important thing you have, like your eternal soul that could burn in hell for all eternity if things don't work out. Like, you'll give that to God and say, okay, God, I'll trust you with my eternity, with my soul, with the rest of my life. But Lord, my finances, I can't trust you too much for that. You know, I can't really trust you with my health. I can't really trust you in this relationship. I can't really trust you in this future plan I have. Am I wrong? Right? If we can trust God with that, we can trust him with anything. But I was thinking about biblical salvation and how life is better when you trust in that and having to trust in the Lord for salvation. You know what I see in this world? That this world is crippled by the fear of death, by the fear of eternity. And man, you see that in people. When COVID happened, you saw people, go nuts because they were afraid that they might get sick and die. And I'm not saying that, like, we should just, like, oh, that's not that big of a deal, or, like, who cares about it. I'm not being ridiculous. But what I'm saying is, you see that in the world. You saw that then. You see it now, where people are just, like, freak out if there's any chance of that. Why? Because this life is all they have. They have no hope. They have no peace. They have no knowing that, hey, in eternity, I'm going to be, like, they don't have that. And I believe have probably an impending sense of doom inside them of, like, judgments coming, right? So there's fear. There's worry, there's anxiety, there's stress about what? Death, because they don't have a trust in the Lord. But if you go over to Romans chapter 10, and everyone knows these verses, but Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9. The Bible says this. Romans 10, 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can I tell you this evening that my life is so much better because I trusted and trust in that? You know how much better my life is than someone who's not saved, or how much better it would be than if I didn't believe that? Because what? Of my trust in the Lord for salvation. Because at 6 years old, I put my faith in, hey, the Bible says that if I put my faith in Christ, if I believe in my heart and call upon his name, that I'd be saved. And he saved me. And you know what? I trust in what the King James Bible says about salvation. Amen. And so guess what? I have peace and joy and happiness because, hey, I'm going to heaven when I die. In the past, when I got saved at 6, maybe, you know, sometimes we're like, okay, maybe I'm 13 or whatever. But it's been a long time since I've ever worried about death or life after death. You know what? Because of a trust in the Lord. Because life's better when you trust in the Lord. And not just, you know, it kind of goes along with that, but salvation. But what about eternal security? You know, how terrible would the Christian life be without believing in eternal security? Right, I mean, and maybe there are people that are so full of themselves, and I'm sure there are, that think, like, I'm just, you know, I'm so good, like, I can keep my salvation. But, like, if you have any sense about you, you know you're a sinner. You know you fail, you know you mess up, you know probably this last week, like, if you could have lost your salvation, you would have lost your salvation because you sinned. And how terrible, and how, once again, stressful, anxious, worrisome, fearful would this life be if I had to live through it wondering, man, am I still saved? Like, did I do something wrong that God's like, nope, you're not saved anymore because you sinned and messed up. Am I going to stand before God one day and him be like, you know what, you got saved at 6, but you were a stupid idiot and you did something wrong and now you're not saved and you're going, like, that's awful. Yeah. That's terrible. But go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 10. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 10. The Bible says this, 2 Timothy 1:10, it says, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You know what the Bible says? When you get saved, your life is given to Jesus Christ, it's given to God, and he says he's going to keep that which is committed unto him against that day. What day? Verse number 10, the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. You know what the scripture assures me of? That I am in the Lord's hands, I'm in the Savior's hands until the day that he calls me home, and nothing's going to change that. And you know what? My salvation is a lot better trusting in what God says. My life is so much better because I don't have to tomorrow wake up and go, am I still saved? Do I need to get saved again? Do I do something wrong? Do I need to go back? Right? I'm just trying to share that life is a lot better when you trust in the Lord. There's happiness and peace and joy and contentment and just what? Giving it to God. And that's what you did. That's what I did. If you trusted, you gave your life, your soul, the dearest thing you had, an important thing to God and said, okay, God, I'm trusting you for salvation. I'm trusting Jesus Christ that I'm not going to die and go to hell. I'm trusting you that I'm going to be saved even if I mess up, even if I do stupid things. Lord, it's in your hands. You did that for God. That's an awesome thing. But you know what? As I kind of already said, if you'll trust the Lord with those two incredibly important things, why are you choosing to rob yourself of happiness by not trusting Him with other things? Right? If once again, that's a big deal, and it is, and you're willing to trust the Lord with that and give that to God and say, okay, God, it's in your hand. I mean, unless maybe it's something you struggle, like, when's the last time you struggled or laid awake at night thinking, am I saved? Am I going to hell? Probably for many of us, not recently. You know what? Because you trust God with that. Because you're not sitting there, oh, do I need to do this? God, do I need to help you? God, do I need to go to church tomorrow? God, do I need to make sure I do some good works today to stay saved or to make sure I'm going to No, you gave it to God when you got saved and put it in His hands and not worried about it since. And thanked Him and praised Him and glorified Him. And if we can do it for that such, why can't we do it for the other things in our life? Why can't we do it for our finances? Why can't we do it for our relationships? Why can't we do it for our health? Why can't we do it for life decisions? Why can I give you an answer tonight? As we're kind of closing this down, you know the reason why? Well, we can give salvation and eternal to God, but not some of these other things. It's because we aren't willing to let go of what we want. You know why you have an easy time trusting the Lord for salvation and eternal security? Because you want salvation and eternal security. Because you see the end result of that. You see that, oh yeah, like I want to go to heaven. I was like, that's what I want. That's my. So it's easy to trust the Lord because you're going to get what you want out of it. And that's not the end of the bad thing, right? That's good. Praise the Lord. But you know what happens sometimes when it comes to trusting in God for our finances, for our health, for our relationships, for our life goals, for our dreams, for our plans, for our decisions? Well, what if God doesn't give me what I want? What if this doesn't work out the way I want it to? And that's a hard thing to face. That's where the rubber meets the road. And you know what happens sometimes with you and I? You won't fully trust the Lord because you're scared to death that His way won't be your way. I mean, and we know happy is, whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Right? We know there's peace and joy in God. Yeah, I know. But what if this thing doesn't work out? What if this doesn't happen? I mean, I know God's good, but what if this isn't exactly how I dreamed it would be? And look, I can't speak for other people, but I can speak for an instance in my life. You know what? And I'll be very clear. I'm not saying this is like, oh, this is some terrible story or worse than other people. Like, a lot of other people have gone through a lot worse than I have. But you know what? For 11 years, you know what I struggled with? What if I never get married? What if I'm a loser for the rest of my life that never finds that person that I want to spend the rest of my life with? Can I just be honest? Can we be real, right? And I don't know what, but you have things too that you struggle with. And you know why I struggled with being anxious about it at times and stressed about it at times and fearful about it at times and worrisome about it at times? It was when I didn't trust in the Lord. When I wasn't willing to put it in His hands and say, okay, God, you know. And you know sometimes why I didn't want to do that? Because what if I marry someone I don't want to marry? Yes. Can we just be real tonight, right? What if I don't enjoy being around her? What if she Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate the wisdom. What if this thing doesn't work? What if she's ugly? Oh my goodness. Can I just be real, right? Can we just be real tonight, right? Padan, oh my goodness, I can't believe Pastor Aaron would say he wouldn't want to marry someone that he thinks is ugly. Come on, you would say the same thing. Praise the Lord. But seriously. And so even though I grew up in church, I knew what the Bible said, I knew what was right, I knew that. But there was still the part inside me that, but if I trust God and really give it to Him and take my hands off it, what if I don't get what I want? You know, probably While you're struggling so much with the fear and anxiety and stress and worry and the trusting in the Lord, because there's that thing in your life that you know, okay, God's good and trust God, but you're scared to death that if I actually give this up and put it in God's hands and say, okay, Lord, I'm not going to stress, I'm not going to fix it, I'm not going to, Lord, what if God doesn't give me what I want? What if I don't end up happy because I got something I didn't? Well, guess what? You're not happy now. And so it's this bad cycle because it's like, well, if you trusted in God, you'd be happy. But no, you're not happy now, so you're not going to get what God has for you, so you're not going to, it's just. You know what? But go to Psalm chapter 18, and I use these verses a whole lot, but I love these verses, and they've been a help to me. And if I preach on them enough, maybe they'll get ingrained in your head and be a blessing to you. But Psalm 18 and verse number 30. Psalm 18 and verse number 30, the Bible says, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord, or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect." It doesn't say your way is perfect. Doesn't say your plans or your desires or your dreams or your goals or how. It says God's way is perfect. And you know what you and I sometimes need to do? Get over ourselves and realizing God's way is perfect, not our way. Because that's a promise from his word. That's what his word says, that God's way is perfect. Right? We just read it. Right? And then we read in verse 32 that he it is that maketh my way perfect. And when we follow him and trust him, he makes our what it's supposed to be, what is best. And so you and I sometimes need to do? We need to get over ourselves and realize that, guess what? If God doesn't end up giving me what I want, his way is perfect, not my way, so ultimately it's going to be what's best. And can I promise you, I know the devil and our flesh is scared to death of not getting what we want. But man, God can give you so much better than what you want. Or what you think you want. I can testify that today, amen. Of all the years of being fearful and worried, I found the love of my life, amen, and I can't wait to marry her. But guess what? There were times where I was like, what? And you know what? I had to get to a point where I was like, you know what, God? I am tired of running myself into the ground, being so worried and stressed out and fearful and depressed because I haven't worked it out yet. So God, and then God's like, hey, finally, dummy, you figured it out. And look, God's way that is perfect very well might not be your way. I'm not saying he's going to give you all the financial stability that you want. And he's going to give you perfect health. He's going to drop that, you know, whatever. Your life's just going to be perfect. But he will give you what you need when you need it, and he will take care of you. And you will look back and say, you know what? God's way was perfect. And man, I wish I would have realized that sooner, that God knows what he's doing, even if I don't see it, and even if I'm scared to death, well, this might not end up exactly how I think it should be. God knows what he's doing. And there's happiness when you can trust in that. Man, you know what's been a huge blessing to me? All this stuff with Naomi, all this stuff with the wedding. Like, as you all know, it's crazy putting on a wedding. And all these things of what about this and what about... But you know what I've seen God do? Like, let me bless you in this area and let me bless you in that area. And it's like, oh my goodness, God is so cool. Like, sorry, I'm just being real. Like, wait, God did that? And God did this? And God did, like... It almost, someone, a pastor friend was asking me a while back, so he's like, oh, you know, you freaking out about the wedding? I'm like, kind of, but honestly, I'm like more excited about seeing what God's going to do because he just keeps doing stuff that's like mind-blowing. Because his way's perfect. And so, yeah, there are other things like, oh my goodness, we might have 200 people at our wedding and where are we going to stick and fit everybody? But I'm half almost expecting to show up on, you know, Saturday and there's just like a whole thing set up that we didn't have anything to do with. Just the way God's doing stuff. I'm just saying, like, I can, like, you know what? I think God's got this. because he's proven it time and time again that he does. But you know what you need? You need to get to the spot where you get over yourself and say, you know what, yeah, I really want this, but it's not worth not trusting God over. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having goals or dreams or desires or want, but it's okay if you don't get it. And that's the point you need to get to, the point that I need to get to. Because go over, and last place we'll turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 11, the Bible says this. Paul speaking says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You know what you need to understand? Trusting the Lord means being content. And that means, once again, being okay if God doesn't do everything exactly how you think he should do it. Because I'm not saying we just give up like, oh man, I can't have dreams, or I can't have goals, or I can't have desires, because I just need to be... No, you can have those things. You can pray for those things. You can say, okay, Lord, this... But you know what? Be content if God decides not to do that and do something different. Because Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am. He didn't say, I've learned when God gave me exactly what I asked for and everything's going my way that I'm content. He said, man, verse number 12, he says, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Some of that stuff's not fun. Some of that stuff, I bet, was not on Paul's checklist of like, man, I really hope it turns out like this. But you know what he said? I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. You know what's helped me a lot, especially kind of in ministry, especially when I first got here and doing teen events, and I'm still working on that. This morning was an example of that. And sometimes that doesn't even come from a bad place, right? It's not like we're like, it's bad. Like, we want to be the best it can be. We want it. We have good desires. But we have this, like, it has to be like this. And when it doesn't turn out exactly how we think it should be, like, man, we freak out because, well, this didn't happen. But you know what helped me a lot? Understanding that if I do what I can do, and I've prayed about it and put it in God's hands, that God will take care of it. And yeah, if every piece doesn't fall into place exactly how I hope, that's okay, because God's going to get the job done, and I can just, yes, do I wish everything was exact? Sure. And there's nothing wrong with, but being okay if it doesn't end up like that, because God knows what he's doing. Because God's way is perfect. You know what in your life you need to learn? To be content. Okay, God, I have this dream, I have this prayer, I have this desire, I have this goal, I have this wish. But Lord, if you decide that that's not what your will is and that's not what your way is, God, your way is perfect. And so I'm going to say, okay, God, this is what's best because this is what you've chosen. And I'll be happy in that. Because there is happiness and contentment. Because you're content. Because you're not tossed around in bed all night. What about this? Nope. Okay, Lord. You got it. Okay, Lord, I'm single and 29 and a nerd and all this. But God, you told me you were enough. And your way is perfect. You make my way perfect. So I guess, Lord, I need to be here where I'm at, doing what I'm doing. And you know what? Life was a lot better when I got to that point instead of always being like, oh my, I can't believe. You know what? God will give you strength to be content. You know that verse that we always use, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me? You know what the context of that is being content. Because sometimes it is hard, right? And look, I'm preaching to myself. You ask Naomi, you ask Pastor Sherry, you ask my parents, man, when I get my mindset on something, I'm pretty much like, nope, this is how I like to have it. So I understand it's hard getting over what you want sometimes. But you can do it in the power of the Lord. With God's help, you can be content with your finances. With God's help, you can be content with your health. Be content with your relationships. With God's help, you can be content with your life. And guess what? I understand the world says, oh yeah, but you're not getting what you want, what you think. Well, okay, then live life in stress and anxiety and worry and fear and misery because you're so worried that you're not getting what you want. don't know about you, but I'd rather, with the Lord's help, do my best to be content, because then you know what? I'm good because God got me. And like he's shown me these past year, he knows what he's doing. And no, it's not in my timing, and it's not always in my way, and it's not always in my thoughts, but God knows what he's doing if I put it in his hands and actually trust in him. And so how about it, Christian? He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. It's a short verse, but there's a lot of truth in that verse. And I still got a lot to learn on that and a lot to work on it, but you know what I've found? Man, it's worth it to trust God. And I hope I got that across tonight. As a piano player comes and starts to play something, I'm just trying to say, man, when you can learn to trust in God, your life's going to be so much better. And some of you have seen that, and some of you can testify that, you know what, man, he's been so good to me. And we get to give some testimonies tonight about that, saying, man, God, there's happiness in trusting in love. But sometimes we forget that. Sometimes the things happen, things come, and oh. But can we just focus back tonight of realizing, hey, let's just trust God. Let's put it in his hands. Let's be okay with not getting maybe exactly what we think. And Lord, you know best because your way is perfect. And trust him.